Hi, this is filmmaker BJ Colangelo, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment. Welcome to The Default Setting. I am your host, Jess Falstick.
And I am co-host, Gigi Chick.
And this is our flagship premiere inaugural episode of The Default Setting. How it works is we're going to have on people to talk about what their default setting is. My premise kind of came from actually my friend Camilla Grigsby. Shout out to her. She originally came up with this concept. The idea coming from the notion that I hope that's okay. The notion just kind of comes from, I'm a huge IT nerd, so everybody kind of has, every device kind of has its own default setting, things that it kind of comes with when it's comes from the factory. And I kind of thought that maybe people had this too. They were born with a certain sort of, you know, something that they might make it try to hide over the years. They might try to make it go away, but it always kind of exists with them. And Gigi and I thought it'd be kind of a fun thing to kind of explore what people's default settings are. Disclaimer, most of us will be under some form of altered consciousness state in most of these recordings, which is why my words no make sense good at the moment. But that's pretty much what's going on with this podcast. I hope you guys enjoy it. Our very first premiere guest on the show today is a local favorite of mine, comic, member of the sketch group Sad Boys Social Club. Please give it up for Tabitha Jones.
What is...
Hello. Hi.
Podcast.
I wish I'd stop saying, please give it up. That's what I do every week at my show. And I'm always like, please give it up. And then like, I'll introduce like the eighth person and say, please give it up. And I'm like, why am I doing this?
Just give it up already.
Can't I give it up for give it up?
You just need to say, please give it up, and then allow 15 seconds of silence for the listeners at home.
To build up. Yes. To build up the suspense. Yeah. Thanks for being our first guest.
Oh, anytime.
Your default setting is anger.
Yes, it is.
And so, is it something that you think you were born with or just developed very early?
I definitely think it's something that I was born with. A lot of anger is definitely passing and very just kind of like fleeting and superficial anger. But when I say like my default setting is anger, like I mean a deep, deep uncontrollable anger that like I have had to work my whole life to like be like, all right, this is how we manage this and this is how we deal with this. I'm very much, my dad was always very just like hot temper, really quick, like
Irish.
No, Welsh.
Welsh.
Oh
yeah, which I don't know very, I don't know many stereotypes about.
I don't either, except people. That they like,
I don't either,
they go back on bets, I think is the thing, like Welsh on a bet or something. Oh. Or maybe that's Welch. I don't know.
I think that's Welch.
God, I seem like that an was so idiot, close. And we're only like a minute and a half into this. Yeah, I don't know anything about the Welsh either.
I'm going to make up a stereotype now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Welsh dads are angry dads. but yeah, it's just been a very, I feel like I get, it's not always bad anger. I feel like I get angry over good, like in good ways and like, you know, towards certain injustices or getting angry for other people being treated badly or getting angry at other people for treating me badly. I think that's one of a positive to some of my anger is that I just don't let people kind of walk all over
You're
me.
You're passionate.
Yeah, I'm passionate about the things I do and I'm passionate about the way I'm treated and the way I'm perceived. And if I feel like you are going to disregard that, I'm going to get very angry about that. And yeah, it's that's why I'm, you know, under so many substances. Yeah. I'm just like,
isn't that great?
All the time. And then I'm just like, oh.
You're like, let's bring it down now.
I'm fine now. I'm calm.
We reassess.
Can talk about things.
What would you like to talk about today?
Just going to fold my hands in my lap very
soft. It's amazing what mind-altering substances do for anger and sadness, I have
found.
Most
definitely.
Like, those don't have to be emotions if you don't want them to be. You just have to...
Yeah, well, I think some people have the ability to just kind of turn that off. I think it's like a almost compartmentalization that some people possess and other people, like myself, do not.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, like I am the same way. I'm Irish and Serbian, so I can go from like 0 to 100 pretty quickly passion level.
This is like 23 and me and murder or something.
That'll be our next podcast.
What's your
podcast?
Genetic makeup that makes you want to kill everyone? That keeps like, there's this like really big like red spot over like the UK.
You know, I'm surprised that's not an SNL skit yet. I'm actually really shocked. Really
I need to watch more SNL because God knows it probably has been. So what was your first big, like, that you can remember, like, very angry, like, moment, like, what made you really angry?
I remember being a little kid, and this was the first amount, like, big bout of irrational anger that I remember later, like, after the fact, even though I was maybe, like, 6 or 7 years old. I remember looking back at that and being like, oh, wow, that... It was kind of scary that I just acted like that, and it was over a very, like, menial thing of, like, playing with some friends, and, like, something so little of, like, we were playing, like, school or something, and, like, I wanted to be the teacher, and they were like, no, I'm gonna be the teacher next. And I was like, okay, fine, like, really angry, and my mom, like, overheard and was like, hey, I heard how you were talking, like, come on, time out for, like, 10 minutes. And I remember, as I went to walk out of my room, just pushing my bookcase over.
So just, it clearly triggered something.
Like, just, like, very calm, just, like, ripping it down. And just being like, mom would be like, what the fuck?
So that was, like, the first she'd really seen of anything.
Yeah, like
that.
I had been, like, gonna mm-hmm. be grumpy, gonna be, like, shitty, like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. But that was the first,
like, violent rage.
Seeing me get, like, angry and just being like, fuck it. And just, like, down it goes. Mm-hmm. And her just being like, what the fuck was that? Yeah. Okay, everyone's going home now. My little psychopath child needs to be dealt with. And yeah, like, I remember, like, after getting my, like, stern talking to, like, being in my room and just being like, oh yeah, like, maybe I shouldn't destroy things when I'm angry. But also, it feels really good to do that.
Oh my God, yeah, that was... When I used to get into rage, it's weird, whenever, and I don't know if this had any effect, or it might have just been the time in my life where my, the piece they got was passionate and angry about shit just died, and now I'm just dead inside, but, I remember that when I started taking antidepressants, a lot of the edge of that just like, rah, like when, but I remember, there's never been, since I've been on antidepressants, as satisfying of a feeling of like, just calling your husband a piece of shit who needs to die. And all he did was, like, you know, just leave some piss on the seat or something like that. Like, just, but there would just be that moment where it was just like, oh my God, yes. They're like, nothing felt better than saying the most horrible, vicious, awful thing. And I don't miss being that person at all, but I have never had a feeling like that.
Yeah.
Since I died.
So. Since you're so
are you a very angry person, Gigi? I haven't really
no.
ever seen you get angry.
No, I'm really not. I mean, I'm a very kind of go with the flow person. As far as other people, I'm definitely a planner, but and a very organized person. But when it comes to just situations, people adapting, I'm pretty chill. But when I get angry, it goes like it just happens, and there's no
stopping
it. Is it
pretty rare when you get angry?
Yeah, it's
definitely. If you were to quantify it, it'd be like a couple times a year, or
yeah, it's definitely. I mean, few and far between.
Okay,
but it happens, and
so there's no like small anger. It's like if anger exists within you, it's just like fucking 11.
I mean, there's definitely those moments, like, you know, if I injure myself, that is a quick trigger for me to swear like a sailor. Mm. But yeah, for like the important angry moments, that's yeah. That doesn't happen that often. So.
Do you ever feel like violent when you're angry? Have you ever had that, like, urge to throw shit? Because I know I've broken stuff. I've thrown things.
Yeah, I definitely am more likely to hurt inanimate objects than other people when I'm angry. Yeah.
But 100%.
Yeah.
I like the nice combination of throwing things at people, because you can still sort of vicariously imagine that you're hurting them, but you can throw it just off so it doesn't hurt them and you damage the item. It's like a nice little all-encompassing, don't aim for them, but, like, pretend like you're going to aim for them.
Show them that you could aim for them.
One of my big moves, just because I feel like I knew how dramatic it looked, was to break something at my own feet and just, like, stand there. And just be like, what next?
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, like, it's balls in your court.
I'm picturing you, like, six, and you're taking, like, those plastic scissors and just slitting your wrist open, and, like, a little bit of blood trickles out, and you're just like, your move.
Right. It just, like, scrapes it a little bit.
And the kids in Foursquare just, like, drop the ball. I'm like, oh shit.
That girl's
getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in, like, the point now of not being like, I'm gonna lash out and be so angry, but of just, like, being, like, a calm, planning, rational, steady anger at all times. Of just, like, being prepared. And just, like, alright, like, let her talk sideways to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got move A, B, C, D, and it's like E chess. Planned out. Like, say something. I'm gonna ruin your life. But if I can, I will.
That is what makes an awesome comic, I'm gonna tell you, because right now, I'm still, I get to, like, A, then B, maybe, if I'm like, what the fuck happens if someone, you know, heckles me? What the fuck happens? But then you don't know what they're going to say. So it's like, well, if it's just a nice heckle, say A, but what if they say something back? Then it could be B and C. And see, she's got all that shit, like, already, like... See,
I'm bad with hecklers. Because I have to plan. I do have to, like, have, like, an arsenal, like, deeply personal things that I can be like, bam, like, gonna make you cry. Mm-hmm. Like, but with, like, general people, like, I've never had, like, a full-out heckler yet. I've been very, very lucky.
How many?
Yeah. I've had people that have wanted to, like, participate in
sure,
sets.
Sure, me too, yeah.
Where I'm just, like, my go-to is just be, like, why are you talking?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, like, right back into the joke to go. Because, like, I just don't, I'm not that, a lot of people think I'm, like, quick on my feet with, like, insults. I'm really not. Like, with the whole, like, roasting thing and everything.
Those,
like,
are written.
Yeah, I prepare. Like, I've got them written out. Like, I know who I'm talking about and everything. Like, Chad Weaver had for one of his Thriller B-Thrill shows.
Isn't he great?
Shout out to Chad Weaver.
You get some free publicity here. Chatty Daddy. We love you.
Just blank his name out. But he had a Thriller B-Thrill, and my challenge was that I had to roast people in the audience.
No shit!
And I was
like, I was like, Chad,
I've been the subject of that.
I'm like, you don't understand. I'm a very nice person. Like, I can't just, like, look at these people. They're like, we're here to see this show. And be like, fuck you. And I was just like, I ended up,
yeah,
like,
that's rough.
I just ended up, like, being really mean to his family, I think it was.
That actually works out really well. It was, like, perfect karma.
Because, like, a bunch of his aunts were there.
His aunts are in everything. Did you ever see the live feed of him? We're doing Inside Baseball. I can, like, explain it so that it makes sense to everyone. So, Chad and Jimmy Graham did a live Facebook feed, and Chad roasted his sister
at her own
high school graduation party. And the thing is, all they did was set up a phone, like, in a lawn chair, and just started streaming Facebook Live. And he goes up on, like, you know, what looks to be an elementary school PA system with, like, a little mic and, like, this tiny little amp. And he's talking and he's telling all these, like, roast jokes about his sister. And while he's talking, he's standing by the doorway to the house. All these ants are just waddling by the camera, like, going back into the house to get some more chips and, like, waddle. And they're just waddling right in front of the camera. So it's just, like, half the time the camera's blocked by a waddling aunt. But I love that the waddling aunts also showed up.
I mean, needless to say, they were probably used to it.
I said,
I don't think that you...
Well, that was going to be my first thing. Chad Weaver's family is not fazed.
Exactly. They're just like, they know. They know what they signed up for. But, like, I said, like, one of the aunts looked like... like Blanche from the Golden Girls, but more of a whore.
That's
and
so
then I was
good.
Like, oh, Chad's sister, and like I just like asked about her like boyfriend fucking her a bunch. And I'm just like,
oh,
I was like,
put her dying. Parents
yeah,
in there.
Like, I'm dying, I'm dying. And then like I think I said like something about wanting to sleep with Chad's dad, maybe.
Nice.
Or like I know I said something about his dad, but like literally it was such a nightmare for me though that like it's all blacked
I can't imagine
out.
Why.
Because I'm just like normally when I'm being meanest to people I know and love, and I'm like we're friends.
There's
like,
an understanding.
Yeah, we're gonna do this show together, and Chad puts me on the stage and he's like, be awful to these people that love me. And I'm just like, no.
I love him. Quick aside, if anybody has not seen it, the Ad Hominem Attack Show Roast Battle, it happens once a month at the East End Bistro in Lakewood, typically, correct?
Yes.
Chris Paw and Ryan DiPerna are the, I think, heads of the Ad Hominem Attack Show. And I've seen it probably two or three times now. And I'm not... I will get accused of being a kiss-ass until the day I die. I'm not saying this to be kiss-assy. I would say this if she weren't here. She's literally the best roast battler I've ever seen, at least from an amateur local perspective. I remember the first time I ever saw her just destroy everyone. I came up to her after the show like a fangirl. I was like, that was fucking amazing. Because it ended up boiling down to her and another comic there, Elise Dickerson, and I was so happy
that
it was
saw
women.
That.
You were with
I
us.
Was
it
there.
Was at Canopy.
Yes.
She was there.
And I was like, what am I sitting in right now?
Because it's
this
just
is amazing.
Because and the other tough thing, you know, you were talking about Tabs, the when Chad just expects you to kind of roast off the cuff is hard, because I think some of literally the most incisive, like just cutting brutal roast battles are between people who have had the opportunity to research each other a little bit or know each other. Because I'm sorry, I will never get tired of watching people make fun of Sam LaTourette for his dad being dead. Like,
right.
That just becomes the roast battle go-to.
I'm so sad.
He's not doing it anymore.
I'm so sad.
It's tragic. And just the level of discomfort at everyone in the audience when that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's,
like,
just,
everyone's
like,
just like, oh.
One of the things was, like Logan won the battle and, like, posted with the belt, and Cody Cooper commented and was like, did you do it without mentioning his dead dad? And Sam was like, no. And then I was like, I kept it to one joke.
One dead dad joke.
But like that's the thing, is that like people wanna like be like, oh, you're gonna do X amount of jokes about this topic. Like that's like pandering or whatever the fuck you wanna call it. But it's mm-hmm. like when I first roasted Sam, we had known each other 3 weeks. I had never met Sam before the night we found out that we were roasting each other the next month. Added him on Facebook. And I did five
jokes. Just started trolling to get material.
I did 5 jokes about him being addicted to heroin. Like, because here's the thing. I thought he was clean at that point.
Oh, and, like, so people, you thought it was, like, fair game.
Yeah, people were like, oh, yeah, like, you know, Sam, he was a heroin addict. But he's, like, cool now. And I'm like, oh, awesome. And then, like, he joins a sketch group. And, like, 9 months later, we're talking about it. He's like, oh, yeah, I was on so much heroin. I'm like, no. I felt like the biggest asshole in the world. I was like, here I thought that, like, it maybe you had at least been sober
passed.
For, like, 6 months, maybe. Like, giving it a shot. And I was just like, well, I'm the asshole, I guess.
But that's the thing. When the roast battles, I really truly feel like roast battles are the one remaining place on Earth where if you're getting into it, you're signing a release that just says there are no... There's
fair game.
There's nothing
oh, yeah.
that's off limits. No matter how awful, ill-considered, foul, illegal.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Everything
they're
is...
so fascinating to me because, well, for a couple reasons. One, they're so uncomfortable for me to sit through, even though I know the logic behind it and I know that it's okay. What's happening is okay. But every fiber of my being is, like, sounding these alarms saying, this is terrible. You would never say these things to any human being.
Right? It's so funny that, like, my main, like, best friends I feel in comedy, I just tear to fucking pieces on the regular. And just, like...
Not even in roast battles, just in passing.
Yeah, it's just, like, what we do. We hang out and we, like, just, like, rough draft jokes with each other, just like back and forth nonstop.
So to tie that back to, like, I mean, do you think that there's some level of that default anger that sort of ties into like how you can be really like
pointed and really, like...
Oh, yes. Because I feel like even if I wasn't, like, super angry, like, I could come up with those sorts of, like, mean remarks. But, like, I feel like I wouldn't be able to deliver them as just, like...
As cold-heartedly.
Yeah.
Because, like, someone said that to me once before of just, like, I would... Like, they had seen me in the roast battles. I can't remember who it was. They had seen me in the roast battles and, like, started doing open mics and everything. And they're like, I was amazed when, like, I was hanging out with someone after LVT and, like, you were around and you were so nice. Because, like, you were just on that stage of the roast battles just, like, boom. You're a dick, you're a cunt, you're an asshole, go fucking die. You look like garbage, like smashed into a fucking Ziploc bag, you swine. Like,
so that's art also, because here's the thing. As someone, again, who's constantly, like, worried about the day it happens and someone's just an outright asshole to me, I don't have... I think it is a very rare thing, and it's an admirable thing, and I wish more than anything, it's a skill you could teach. The ability to be angry, but also very eloquent. Because the problem is, when I get pissed, it's just, fuck you, you cocksucking motherfucker! I hope you and your whole family fucking die slowly in a fucking fire! And, like, that's, yeah. And that's the thing. That's not clever, and that makes it weird, and no one, like, yeah, no one wants to fuck with you, but also no one wants to fuck with you professionally, personally, or anything.
Loose cannon.
Yeah, that's my thing, is that, like, again, with preparation, it's all about preparation. Like, I can prepare for, like, those insults and, like, saying this and that, and, like, so many of them are, like, very vague insults that could apply to so many other people. But when I get angry, like, real life angry, I don't go to the, I don't go to that bank of, like, clever, mean things.
It's like the medulla oblongata. Like, you just go straight there and it goes
past everything.
It's
like, you know how, like, shark's eyes just go black. Just like, all right.
Yeah,
like,
you're in this, like, feeding frenzy.
Yeah, like, fuck you. Oh my god. Just like, yeah. My brain feels like it's going to explode. And, like, I just talk until I have no more breath. And I'm just like, and then I'm like, oh, I can see again. Okay.
Do you think, though, is there a piece of you that, is there almost like a, I don't know if it's, say, like a spigot or a filter that kind of, like, when certain levels of shit come your way, it, like, turns down the immediate need to go to rage and goes to that prepped place you were talking about? Like, do you see that as part of the process of going, I'm not going to freak out, I'm just going to go to the preparation place versus...
Yeah, I see that a lot just in, like, conversation of, like, because a big problem that I have is just, like, people, especially in, like, projects or, like, pitching things, is just, like, people constantly feeling like I'm the one that they can, like, bicker with. Of, like, everyone else, they can tell them their opinion on, like, what they have, like, what they think of X, Y, and Z about a project. And they're like, oh, okay, like, I'll think about it. Even though, you know, they're not gonna fucking think about it. They're gonna do what the fuck they wanna do. But it's like, I sit there and I'm like, oh, well, like, we could probably do this instead of this. And they're like, well, why would you think that? And I'm just like, well, because of this. And they're like, oh, okay, well, I'm sure that... I'm just like, all right, like, if you keep talking, you're going to die. like, I just get, I get very just, like, pointed of just, like, all right, then. That's cool, then.
So what, right. Do you know, like, is there a specific thing, like, a level, or is it pretty intangible as far as it goes from, like, I'm just gonna sling, like, lines that are gonna cut them in half versus my eyes are gonna turn black and it's gonna become like fucking Carrie up in here.
I think it's intangible because yeah. it's such a sliding scale and has so many other factors
variables. Yeah,
just like, all right, like, how's my day going? How's my week going? You know,
sure.
How's my general mindset? There's definitely days where things that I would usually just be like, all right, like, gonna tell you to go fuck your mother, you know, whatever. That, you know, those sorts of things on some days are just like, all right, I am going to rip this building apart with my bare hands.
I would actually pay to see this.
Yes!
There should be, we need to call, like, a Tabitha Kaiju. Like, he's like, rawr!
Could you rip my building apart? Because it just really needs remodeling.
I really just want someone to make, like, a... get a bunch of those big refrigerator boxes from like Home Depot.
Oh, shit, and make like a landscape.
Yeah, making me a little city. Like,
we need to make this happen. Holy shit. All right. Well, and you're in a sketch group, so we could definitely make this happen.
I'll start my own personal Patreon, and that'll just be...
to fund the kaiju movie.
Yeah, that'll just be the sort of content you get. Just like, it's like a weird like offset of like cam girling. There has to be a fetish of like some guy online's like, ooh, this girl.
She's destroying cities.
Destroying a city with her bare hands.
She looks like she's a giant, but she's not.
Just like yelling, like slamming shit. Oh man. Shit. I constantly fantasize about just like situations like that where I can make enough money to
smash.
Live.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, where? Just like scrolling through the internet, like, where is the man who's going to pay me $1,000 to just like step on something? I'll do it. It's fine. I don't care. Like, I'll find some weird guy. I'm sorry, you're not a weirdo. Some guy with very particular interests that I'm not judging at all whatsoever. That would give me thousands of dollars to just be like, maybe this is what's gonna get it. Okay, like this is okay.
This is happening. When people go back, when this picks up in the next 2 weeks, and everyone in the country starts listening to this, they're gonna want to listen to the inaugural episode. So make your Patreon pitch now.
Yeah.
All those stompers are gonna come out of the woodwork.
Just be like, I'll wear it.
Stomp daddies.
I love
stomp
when ladies
daddies.
Stomp
daddies. Oh my god. I
gotta stomp daddies. Oh god.
Sounds like they're just really into it. Wasn't that me in that like Broadway show? Stomp or what?
Stomp dad, yeah.
Stomp.
And it's a guy who's super into that, but also when women just like step on things.
Just tie trash can lids around your feet and just like. Like your neighbors will get really pissed. You'll just hand them like a fistful of 20s and be like, just get out of here, just get out. And like, and they'll keep recording.
I'll misunderstand the directions and paint myself entirely blue. Isn't this what you want?
Oh my god.
It's just a bunch of blue ladies on a stage stomping on cardboard boxes and just going like this, like doing
body drums,
jive motions with their hands.
We just combine all the Broadway shows du jour. Like, we'll have like a rapping guy and like a Revolutionary War.
It's just me just like screaming, like, please pay me enough to live. Please pay me enough to live.
There's just someone off to the side doing spoken word.
Oh my god, you guys, I think we just came up with
something.
And then
we have a little redheaded girl singing about tomorrow. Someone in full cat's regalia just like, memory. All alone in the moonlight.
People will be so confused to what show they're saying.
They're like, I don't know what this is, but I love it.
Have you ever wanted to see all the Broadway shows at once?
We'll just put weed butter in the popcorn so people just get in there.
Don't
like,
want to waste time and money.
Talk about a sensory overload.
Come see any stuff.
Oh my god. We have to have a chill out tent because like no one can handle it.
There's people
where people come down off the high after the show. They're like, I don't even know what to think right now.
It's like when people take like psychedelics for the first time and they're like, my whole state of mind and views on the world have been altered completely.
And then everyone gives it a good review because no one wants to say it was bad.
We can't compare it to anything.
You didn't get it.
And then we all win Tonys.
We'll be one quarter of the way to our EGOTs. We'll get our Tonys and whatever podcast awards you get.
For sure.
Did you guys see the preview for the new Zach Braff show?
Oh, no.
About his podcast network?
Oh, no.
It looks really bad, I think.
I was gonna say, like, oh no, I just kept thinking of Garden State, which had a killer soundtrack, but everything else.
Oh, that is one of the best soundtracks.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm this businessman, I make a lot of money.
I've seen him on Punk'd and how he reacted to like teenage vandals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was, like, swearing at
I feel
that
like
kid.
That show is such a window into people's actual characters.
We see that Justin Timberlake is a soft, sensitive man that is just afraid of the IRS taking his things away.
Oh, Elijah Wood. He was the most passive, like, what, you just robbed me? I mean, you know, worse things have happened, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
he looked like he was going to cry.
That goes to show you, like, their anger levels. Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if it were me, I'd probably be livid and crying, too. I don't know that I'd be, like, swearing, and I didn't see a lot of episodes of those.
Man.
I'd probably be more like those people. I always wonder if I'm on Boiling Point. Do you guys remember Boiling Point?
I do.
I remember if I was on Boiling Point.
Lose my mind.
Like, I remember Boiling Point because, like, there are constantly things that happen to me, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, how...
I have to be on
unless I'm on camera right now, like, and someone's actively trying to piss me off, that's the only way that this can be happening
Can we delve into how ridiculous just reality shows are? They're like, let's make this person really mad. Like, did you guys ever see Hell Date?
No!
Yes.
Hell okay, G-Chaz, please tell
wait
me
a
about
second.
This.
Hell
I
Date.
I want to say, I don't know if it was exclusively or originally on, but I saw reruns of it on BET. But it was just like, you go on this, like, it's like Sheila's friend, Brittany, set her up on a blind date. But what Sheila doesn't know is that Brittany has submitted her to be on Hell Date. And so, like, they give her, like, this actor that's just gonna act like a total
now,
fucking asshole.
Now, don't stick me to this, but I'm pretty sure that Lady Gaga at
yes,
the time,
she was on boiling
Stephanie.
She's on boiling point.
Yes.
Was she
she's
boiling
on boiling point,
point
or,
yeah, date?
Or it might have been that. Either way, like, I just remember
no,
seeing
I think
her
was
like brown
point,
hair.
Now that I think
kept,
about
like,
it.
Like doing shit to her in a restaurant
yeah,
or something, and she just started laughing because she was just like, wah.
The
little
best,
did we all know.
Yeah, know
the
right?
best part of Hell Date that I feel like separates it from all of the other reality shows is when they reveal that they're on a reality show, they just have a little person in a devil costume run
oh
out and go,
God.
You're on Hell
I
Date!
I remember this now!
You're on Hell
okay,
Date!
And
he's like, screams it at her!
Okay, I remember this now only because...
Think so of stressful. All the board meetings that that had to go through.
Like, why am I
not...
I know! Why am I not... I'm not writing for a TV show, and someone is out there writing for fucking Hell
what
Date.
Stuns me is I've been reading up on all this material about how to get your SAG card, how, like, what the stages are just to get a show to get produce a pilot, let alone get picked up on a network, and you fucking know how many meetings that had to go through and how much approval there needed to be, albeit probably not as much as, you know, like, primetime network shows. But still, like, someone, like, there were at least three or five people that were like, yeah, no, midget in a devil suit. No, that seems like the appropriate
no, that's
thing
fine.
To do. No,
that's
I only a... remember this because they used to show clips on The Soup. That's how I know all my
oh,
reality
soup,
shows are from
The
soup.
Soup.
Yeah.
And they would just show, like, every time. It would be, like, once every 3 months when everyone had forgotten about the promise. They're like, this week on Hell Date. And the Hell Date wasn't even that good. But then they just cut to the midget at the end just going, or little person, my bad. But either way, like, they were just, yeah, the guy at the end just yelling.
Man,
which...
let's talk about how much of a treasure The Soup was for a second.
Well, and how beautiful Joel McHale
do you
is.
Remember Spaghetti Cat?
Oh my God, Spaghetti Cat!
Spaghetti Cat, I weep for you. Spaghetti Cat, I don't know what to do. Spaghetti Cat, oh my God, and then the Sanjaya.
Oh my God, yes!
That was a great one. When Whitney Houston died and they retired, the kiss my ass. That
I loved Mankini. It would be just a man who came out in a bikini. Also, the Mankini, he was like this. For anyone who never saw it or haven't seen it in a while, he was like this like middle aged dude with like a dad gut, but he would be completely shirtless, only wearing like a very string triangle bikini covering his nips. And then he grew his hair out over the years, so his hair just got like he looked like Jesus. If Jesus was a like suburban dad,
he always looked
cutting
like,
the grass.
He always looked like Chris Pontius to me from a Wild Boys.
Oh,
and he hung out with Steve-O.
Oh, okay.
Made animals bite him a lot.
Oh,
so yeah, he would just walk out for no reason. They'd be like, "Mankini," and then he was great. So no, but that was where Spaghetti Cat was founded, which I just that's one of my favorite things of all time.
Soup was so
Spaghetti
good.
Cat.
The soup was. Amazing.
Soup was good. But yeah, no, I mean, we're talking about reality shows and anger. Reality shows give me anger because we talked about how, like, they produce, they're very, apparently, you can produce very little edited things. You don't have very many gatekeepers
to
those things.
You can manipulate literally anything to look however you want, and that's most definitely, like, very... conniving to both the people you're putting the product out for and the people that are on your product as well.
Would you ever be on a reality show?
Yes.
Yeah? Do you know which ones?
No,
or are there specific ones you wouldn't be on? Or
I wouldn't be on... So, like, say I...
Hell Date!
I mean, I would be on Hell Date. It's like, that little devil can run out. I'm like, oh my God, I'm on Hell Date! Yes! So, like, say I gain a whole bunch of weight, I would never let anyone put me on my 600-pound life because I'm not here to, like, make people any more sad about me than they already are. I would, if I ever got famous, I would definitely go on Dancing with the Stars. Oh, if I ever got famous and then washed up enough to go on it. I really don't know what other, like, what sort of reality shows would I even be eligible for?
Yeah, I think for me, I've just seen, like, the audition process, too, and I just, there was some point along the way I lost any drive to ever want to be fake in any way, you know what I mean? And it gets me into trouble professionally, too, because sometimes you have to kiss ass, and I really am not good at it, integrally. So, integrally? I don't know. But... Man, I'm high. What were we talking about?
Could you imagine me on The Bachelor?
Oh, yes. Which shows we'd be on?
Just being like, hey, maybe pick me.
Like, I'm here.
That would be fucking great. Everyone would root for you. That's the thing.
So
that's an SNL sketch right there. Why not Tabitha?
It's just, it's me.
I don't know if either of you have seen this. I'm addicted to a reality show. My friend Missy. Shout out to Missy.
Missy Elliott.
Every time we get together, we sit down, get out some wine, and watch Terrace House.
I am not familiar.
It's on Netflix. Shout out to Terrace House. And it's essentially the Japanese version of The Real World.
Oh. I would be on The Real
World. It's a group of beautiful young adults all living in a house together. The difference is they all live in that city, so they kind of continue about their day-to-day activities, their jobs, their normal lives, so like, but they all come back to this immaculate, modern, glorious Japanese-designed home that I'm really jealous of, and just kind of live together and get to know each other. And it's
that sounds like so much fun.
Compared to The Real World, it's so tame. Like, right? No one's had intercourse yet.
Is there anger? Or is it pretty, like...
There is no anger.
That's my favorite thing about watching of, like, international reality and, like, competition shows.
British Bake Off?
Yes. It's, like, it's just, like, there is no conflict at all whatsoever. Someone's like, I'm in a pickle, and someone's always like, oh, love, I'll help you right away. I've already finished my meringue.
It's just like,
no, yeah, they have conflict, like this very minimal conflict, and they just talk it through in a really calm tone.
Have a conversation.
And then they all make dinner together.
You like that?
Well, you have to put the preface, you have to put the subtitles on.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it literally
is in Japanese, but it's so fascinating to me, and they're all so
British.
Gorgeous.
You might put subtitles on.
They're all just like these like little model people like living together. And I just want to be there.
There were Japanese game shows, but then there's also Japanese reality shows. And then they started, like, became a very blurry line between
Japanese
the
game shows.
Some of them are amazing. Fucked. There used to be one where this guy, they would blindfold him and then throw him in an apartment and lock him inside and send him, like, something in the mail once a week to, like, feed himself with. So they send him, like, a bag of rice. I think it was called sweepstakes or something. But basically, you had to keep signing up for sweepstakes. This is back in the 80s. And sweepstakes were as minimal in Japan as you could get a bag of rice, you could get a bottle of sake, you could get, like, that kind of stuff. And that's the only way he could eat it, is he had to win everything through sweepstakes. So he was, like, and he had to give up all his clothes. So if he tried to leave the apartment, he'd be naked, so he couldn't go outside.
What?
And
this just sounds like...
It was a sociopathic.
This sounds like a nightmare.
It just sounds like some billionaire was like, I just want to torture humans, like, and get away with it.
Yeah,
and
you
make
should,
other people
in
watch
a safe
it.
Environment.
Now I gotta look it up. Talk amongst yourselves.
That makes me angry.
It's like the sweepstakes... It was like sweepstakes was the game show, and then... So finally, I think he did it for like 3 weeks, and then they finally showed up. And they're like, you've passed the first round. Congratulations. We're going to take you on an all-expenses-paid trip to Korea. And he was like, sweet, Korea. And so he goes to Korea for like a week. And he gets like, he's finally outside. He gets to see people. He gets to eat food. He gets to do all these things. And then like, we're going to blindfold you and take you to this next place. And all of a sudden, he's like back in an apartment that's set up exactly identically to the one that was set up in Tokyo. And then they lock him in there again, naked for 3 weeks, and he has to win all his food and all his, like, supplies through, like,
I would just cry.
That's disturbing.
And so the third time, he finally, like, begged the producers, like, please, I can't do this anymore, please, you have to let me stop. And I guess, like, somehow the producer, like, manipulated him into, like, doing it for, like, one more show.
Ow.
And the final show, he's, like, they blindfold him, they take him to this location, he takes it off, and again, he's inside, like, an identical apartment, and he starts crying. Like, he's just sitting there crying, and all of a sudden, the floor turns, and he's facing, like, a studio audience, and they're all like, yay! And he's just sitting there, like, so, like, because like, he's for, like, 9 weeks now, been isolated, and all of a sudden, he's, like, in this room with all these people screaming, and he thought he was in, like, a house, and he didn't know what was happening.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it's called...
I would never trust another person ever again.
It's called Nasubi, and... Nosubi's his name. Nasubi is Japanese for eggplant because his face kind of looked like an eggplant, which was also a really nice thing. He's not that old. He's like our age. Or he's my age anyway. But this was like, yeah, back in... Oh man, it was recently. It was 2014. He had to live in this like house. It might have even been longer than 9 weeks. Sorry, reading Twizzlers.
Don't mind the white noise of the candy wrappers.
I feel really sad for this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's alive and out now, but you probably are going to have some level of, like, PTSD from that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I would just, my life would be fucked.
Right.
I would not be able to handle that.
That's probably going to make its way into my nightmares tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
And just, like, imagine having a nightmare, like, imagine him having a nightmare where he's just back in that apartment.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine.
That's so scary.
This segment of the show has been brought to you by Lemon Cherry Twizzlers.
And Schweppes.
And Black Cherry Schweppes.
Which
Schweppes.
Is a really great word in general.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
It's fun when you pronounce it Schweppes.
Since 1783.
Well. Schweppes.
Who else has been doing shit since 1783?
Not many people.
Not me.
White dudes, some... Bangs.
I bet Schweppy is a fucking whitey.
I think it's British, because I would often see Kate Moss walking around with Schweppes in her hands. But anyway.
Does that make cocaine British?
Ooh, look, see, I can't do that shit. I can't do that shit. Next episode, we're getting rap siren sound effects, and when this thing picks up, and we start making the big bucks, we're going to have a sound effects board. We're going to be like,
Control panel.
What, like, Ira and the douche on Parks and Rec? Like, you're just gonna reach over and press a button. It's gonna be a toilet flushing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh shit, this is how it happens. You want a rap siren, and the next thing you know, you got rap siren farts, and
you want to know what level my just base anger is?
Yes, please.
I would never be able to make a movie with Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, see, okay, I'm sorry.
I could not, Greg Sestero it.
Please forgive me. So I am going to be the super hyper, like, old lady. I have heard this name 1,000 times, and I know the guy did a movie recently with What's-His-Face and James Franco, and I really want to see the movie. Please tell me the backstory on this
man. Okay, so the whole thing is, so, like, in 2002, 2003, the movie came out in 2003, so, like, probably around 2002.
Is it The Room? Is that what it is?
Okay. Yes, so it was... And I'm just going, I know there's a lot of people, I'm sure I'll get something wrong, and some, like, diehard 15-year-long The Room fan will, like, send me personal hate mail or something. But I'm just going off of having seen it a handful of times, having seen The Disaster Artist, and just, like, reading a few things online. Basically, the two main stars of The Room, just these two dudes that kind of meet in an acting class, the younger guy, Greg, just wants to, like, be an actor, and, like, nice, like, good-looking kid, like, he meets Tommy Wiseau in his acting
and
class.
And this is an actual, like, he's playing himself in the movie, or how's this work?
James Franco is playing him in The Disaster Artist. In the movie that they made, they have these characters that are, like, basically loose versions of themselves, because... Tommy Wiseau wrote it, but, so they, in real life, they meet, and, Tommy Wiseau is just this very mysterious, like, much older guy than Greg, and, like, has this very indistinguishable accent, and, like, will tell no one, like, where he came from, or, like, anytime someone asks him, like, how old he is, he's like, oh, I'm your age, like, and, like, so, like, I said, okay, so you're 24, huh? Okay, man, like... And they move to Los Angeles together to become, like, actors, and, like, nothing happens, and Greg is just like, we should make our own movie. And Tommy's like, holy shit, yes, that's the greatest idea you've ever had, and just runs with it and writes the whole screenplay, even though he just does not understand how humans interact with one another, and it just, like, becomes this, like, cult, like, before it's even a movie, like, production went, like, 65 days when it was supposed to be 40, oh, no. And, like, he didn't understand the difference between, like, shooting in film and HD, so he just bought a film and an HD camera and mounted them together and ran them at the same time.
Oh, my God!
What?
And just, like, the people would come in and he'd be like, oh, I changed the entire script today, or, like, he'd, like, come in, like, 4 hours late. And, like, but, like, the movie that he made has him as, like, this all-American guy, Johnny, and he has the love of his life, Lisa, and then, like, Lisa just decides she doesn't love him one day, and then Lisa starts sleeping with his best friend, and just, like, it's just, like, the most ridiculous shit, like, so, the writing in it, like... One of the exchanges is, honest to God, Greg's character asks Johnny if he thinks women cheat as easily as men do. And Johnny's like, oh, I don't know. Why do you say that? And he's like, Greg's like, oh, man, I knew this girl once, and she had, like, 12 different guys. One of them found out, beat her so bad, she ended up in a hospital on Guerrero Street. And this guy just goes, ha ha ha, what a story, Mark.
Wow.
What? What? Like, there's like an eight minute long sex scene of, like, him just, like, on top of this poor girl, just, like, bare ass out, just, like, thrusting. And, like, in The Disaster Artist, there's this whole scene of, like, James Franco as him, completely naked with, like, one of those Hollywood socks around his dick. Like, I have to show my ass to sell this movie, Greg. And they're like, no, you don't.
So is it the Tommy Wiseau person that makes you angry? Is it everything he's made that makes you angry? Both?
No, I love The Room. I think it's magnificent. It's a very much a story of not just perseverance, but it's very heartwarming of the entire thing altogether now 15 years later of falling so low in Hollywood that you're like, I'm gonna make something on my own, and then you make it and no one takes it seriously, but then it becomes this huge cult thing, and then James Franco makes a fucking movie about your life, basically, and then you're like presenting at the Oscars and shit. And what makes me angry is that it's such a human dilemma story, because I would not be able, there's times where Greg stays with him, and just, like, as he's spending, like, he knows nothing about this man. He doesn't know where he gets all this money from. At one point, he's like, I've put $6 million into this movie. And he's like, where the fuck is this money coming from? He literally doesn't know anything about him, but he believes in what's happening so much that he won't quit. And that's infuriating to me, because I see myself in that, but at the same time, I want to believe that if it was that bad, I would just
you would
say,
know.
You would be able to recognize it.
I would be like, yeah, I'm not doing this. But I'm afraid that if it ever came to that, I wouldn't be able to. And then I'd be the one sitting there in a theater watching The Room play out in front of me and going, oh my God, this is what I spent a year on. Oh my God.
That just happened.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And, like, it's to the point where, like, it's gotten into my head so much in, like, the last 4 months of, like, The Disaster Artist, like, getting all hyped and, like, The Room playing more and, like, watching it more and, like, reading the book and everything. And, like, to the point where I'm just, like, constantly, like, in these motions of, like, what if this is it? What if this is it? Like, I'm, like, so paranoid that, like, this is what's gonna make my life fall apart, isn't it? This right, like, everything that's it. And I'm like, oh, no, it's fine. We're good. We're okay. You can calm down, Tabitha.
So anxiety sounds like it's also a piece
of...
Yeah,
I was thinking on the way here, I was like, oh, there's a lot of things that I've been my entire life. I've been angry, I've been anxious, I've been paranoid, and I've been emotional.
To touch on something you just actually mentioned, do you find... the way that I've always heard this sort of described is more having to do with, like, your
your hatred towards people, I guess, but it could easily just as play as in your anger at people. I find some of the things that I get the angriest at are the things that I hate about myself and I see in other people. That is like a huge driving force. Like when I take a step back and get off like Twitter for 5 minutes and just think about everyone on there that I wish would die, then I start to realize like, oh, it's because like I used to do this all the time, or yeah. I still do this and I can't stop doing it. And
100%. I look at so many things of just like, and I don't see it a lot in the moment. Like, I get, like, super, like, just aggravated about something. Just, like, rant about something bothering me so much. And then, like, a day later, I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, like, that was me at one point. Or, like, mm-hmm. I still get like that. Or there's so many things that, like, insecurity of just, like, not even knowing. Even if you're just, like, I'm so insecure right now. It's so, like, prevalent and just, like, lingers so much that, like, you do these things. And then you're like, oh, why did I do that? That was kind of mean, or that was kind of rude. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, because you're insecure as fuck right now. Mm-hmm. And you were just, like, putting up this wall to be like, don't come any closer. Mm-hmm. Don't see these flaws. Mm-hmm. Let me attack you really quick. Like,
that's the theory that I developed in the last probably couple years, is that anybody I meet who immediately seems, like, kind of an asshole, doesn't matter who it is, or if they just seem really, like, not even an asshole, but just really, like, cold, like, not very warm, not very friendly. Immediately my thing is I don't take it personally because most people that I've met like that are just extremely insecure. And I almost kind of feel bad because it's like, I'm sorry that you have been hurt. Like, I want to take these broken wings. I try to, like, pick them up like a little baby bird and be like, no, you don't have to.
I've got you. It's
Sarah Silverman did a really cool thing with that the other day on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys saw that. She, like, this guy just literally, like, tweeted at her, cunt. And she responded like, hey, I've been looking through your Twitter feed and I saw, like, you have chronic back pain and you don't have insurance or anything. She's like, that really sucks. And he's like, yeah, it really does suck. And she's like, I also noticed that you said something about you've been depressed lately. And he's like, yeah, I've been thinking about suicide a lot. I don't really have any friends and no one really pays attention. And she's like, hey, what city do you live in? And he said Atlanta. And she was like, she starts like, you can literally see her like tweeting at like big wig contacts she has at like whatever health center in Atlanta or whatever. And that's another part of it. Like, as me trying to become a better person, like I often try to like, because the thing is, we were talking earlier about how I just fire off at the mouth. Like, yeah. That has never gotten me anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, and it's just fascinating to me that if you can process your own anger and not even stuff it down, but actually, like, it just make it evaporate, essentially, you become that much more of a productive person because you can think rationally and logically through somebody else's bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That sounds so incredibly just hard. I couldn't imagine. Like, I'm the type of person that, like, I can be, I don't want to say, like, cold, but, like, I'm very much of the, I get into this mentality of, like, sometimes just being like, well, I just have to fucking deal with it, so you should too, you know? So it's like, oh, like, someone's gonna be super shitty and super mean, and I'm like, fuck them. And someone's like, oh, well, you know, they're going through a really hard time right now. I'm like, well, fucking so am I. Yeah. But I'm not out here taking it out on people. I come out and I smile and I'm nice and I say hello. And that's it. Like, fuck it. Like, if you can't deal with that, stay the fuck home.
Well, and there's a certain level, too, of
anger.
There it is! Rawr. I think there's a certain level, too, of like, yeah, you might have been through a shitload, but there is also a window of time that, once it's passed, if that becomes like you're like, well, I have a pass now to be a royal piece of shit to everyone because I went through a hard time. Mm-hmm. No, at that point, you're just as much of a piece of shit who just hasn't gone through anything but is just a piece of shit because you haven't tried to do anything about it.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many resources. There's so much you can do. And I know it sounds very easy for me to say, but I believe you me. I'm sure everyone here at this table can attest to you having been through some seriously dark shit. So I think that, you know, because we're all here and we're all alive and, we've mostly not had any recent run-ins with the law, I can tell you that we've all probably done something.
The night is still young.
True. I can probably honestly say that we've all tried at some point and are still actively trying to do something about whatever it is, depression, anger, whatever. So if you refuse to do anything, sorry, you're as big of a piece of shit as someone who's just a piece of shit.
Right. And even when people just, like, use it so much to justify, like, I understand. I'm not sitting here saying you shouldn't feel what you feel. And you shouldn't deal with those feelings the way that you see fit to deal with them. But if it's not productive, then you're just setting yourself and everyone around you back. And that goes for me as well. Of just like, I have this problem where like, I'll go to therapy, and then like the second like I uncover like I remember the second we figure out one thing that like scares me, I just stop going to therapy, and like I have a huge episode. And I'm like, oh fuck, I gotta go back. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's just try. No one, I mean, no one's out here actively being like, we want the fucking worst for you. Mm-hmm. Like, people want
no one cares about, I think you and I have talked about, like, no one cares about you enough to want the worst for you. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, even people that I know don't like me and I know are unhappy with me or, like, don't fuck with me, I don't think they want the absolute worst for me.
Yeah.
I don't think they're out there actively being like, I hope she fails. I don't think that. And, like, if they are, then, like, that's scary and on them. Like, if you don't like me and you're like, I'm going crazy about it. Like, okay, that's, please go away, please. Oh my God, that's terrifying.
I find it very, almost very self-absorbed when people start talking about how everyone hates them or they start taking things personally when they weren't at all directed at them. And again, it goes back to that insecurity thing too. Whenever I've encountered that with most people, mm-hmm. it's because it's someone that was feeling insecure.
Yeah, definitely.
It's almost like a landmine or a stray bullet, I don't know what it is, where you were aiming for something else and all of a sudden they're just like, and you're like, right. How did that happen?
I do that a lot too. Like anytime I've ever been like, it definitely goes back to that paranoia of being like, oh my God, someone said something sort of kind of like that to me once.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it fucked me up enough that I'm just like, is this about me?
Yeah, right.
Do they hate me? There was one person that was my friend and then like lingered around for like 6 months and then like kind of fizzled out. And then I was like, hey, is everything okay? They're like, I never liked you this whole time. And I thought you were a terrible person.
They rip
off
their mouth like Scooby-Doo. And like,
anything about you, and I think that you need to fix every way
just a
78-year-old
man under the mask, and you're like, oh, God!
Why?
Oh, your dreams are going to be fun tonight, Jeej.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
That's how I'm going to rationalize
everything. It's going to be popping later.
Every person that, like, has ever hurt or wronged me is just a grumpy 75-year-old man underneath their mask.
If it hadn't been for you meddling kids.
Like, why are you having fun and loving yourself?
That's like the best solution I ever heard to stop getting angry at people on Twitter who are just like absolutely awful or say terrible things is if you picture them like as like a cat wearing glasses and like smoking a pipe or something, like typing something terrible like the N-word, you're just like, yeah, okay, it's just a cat. They don't know any better. Yeah. That's, you can't.
I imagine them as my grandparents where I'm just like, they don't.
The autocorrect went to the.
They don't know what they do.
They know not what they do.
They know not what they do.
They're from a different time.
That was the abridged version that I gave of biblical text.
I didn't even know where it came from. I was just like, I think it's called.
Forgive them. They
I think
know
it's
not
Shakespeare.
What they do.
It just makes me think of there's an episode of American Dad where they have. They go, there's the second coming. And, like, 3 years later, it's turned the world into, like, a post-apocalyptic wasteland. And, Jesus comes to Stan and is like, we have to fight the Antichrist. And they're like, he's like, okay. And, like, the whole time they're, like, prepping for, like, this big, bad, scary Antichrist. And then it's just a guy in a red jumpsuit with upside down crosses all over it that just does everything the opposite of Jesus.
Sounds
so
hipster.
He's like speaks in this wacky voice. And he's at one point he's like, condemn them, mother, for they know exactly what they have done. And everyone's just like, what? And he's like, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I'm the Antichrist. So Jesus walked on water. Well, how about you drown in land? And, like, puts him in a glass box and then fills it with dirt. And then, like, the glass breaks.
Oh, that's great.
BJ's here.
I miss... No, it's okay. Somebody
me tell her to come in.
I tell her with my eyes.
Tell her with your eyes. What? She's doing like a come hither.
It just was natural.
I love it. She's probably like, what on earth is going on?
I just thought I would use that.
So, no, it's fine. This is a complete. This is not a professional setting production at all. So anyway, we gotta thank. First of all, we gotta thank Tabitha Jones for being here because she was amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on, and I'm glad we got to talk about being full of rage. You can catch her at Avenue Tap House on Sunday, 7 p.m. on January 21st. The Sad Boy Social Club will be out there performing amongst, I think at this point, good lord, like 12 comics. I way overbooked. It's probably fine.
Hey, can I get some time on that?
That show will just, why not? That show will be 3 hours long, but it's free, and it's every Sunday at the Avenue Tap House in Lakewood at 7 p.m.
It's the place to
Your host is me, Jess Falsick. Also, I want to thank Pete Milk, Milky Way Recording, so much for helping us out with the everything that it takes to get a podcast online on the air. Thanks and shout out to Lousy Weather Media and, of course, Above Below Entertainment, which we here at The Default Setting are a part of on their network. And also thanks to OK Pants. He designed our logo, and I love it, and it's amazing. And someday it's going to be worth a bunch of money, so I won't have to do this anymore. I think that's it for tonight. I don't know how we're going to close out our podcast going forward, so this will be one of those rare comics that... It's before they started doing their signature.
This is when we could really use that sound machine.
What was that sound effect you and I were doing at Porco that one night?
Yes. Yeah. You still have not left me a voicemail making that sound.
So that's how we're going to end this particular episode.
Yes, please.
Ready?
I can't do it.